You may be seated. Praise God. It's so wonderful to see so many people out tonight in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night, summertime. Praise God. But as we've always heard, God is not on vacation. Praise God. And we have just had a beautiful service. Amen. I wish I could sometimes just slip into churches where they did not know me and feel this kind of a touch and just be able to slip in and be blessed and not have to worry about anybody recognizing us. But this has been so wonderful, and I have been blessed, and I trust that in return I can share a small blessing with you tonight from the Word of God. Amen. When Pastor read from Psalm 107, I thought, that's my psalm. Because all of those people that you read in Psalm 107 are types of people that we reached in Athens, Greece. Praise God. Amen. One group of people that's described there is seamen who are out in the sea, out in the boat, didn't know where the haven was, didn't know where the harbor was, and maybe didn't know how to get there in spite of their sailing ability, but they came to their desired haven when they cried out to the Lord. And as you were singing, as Pastor was reading, I was thinking of John Blackmore, who was a hash-smoking seaman working for a wealthy Greek. And because a little Filipino was working for that wealthy Greek's wife, he found a little church in the center of Athens called the Crossroads, brought in his Greek-English wife, and today they're working for God in the south coast of England. Praise God. A few years later, God began to bring in Filipinos. We weren't looking for them, but God's no respecter of persons, so why should I be? And as we came to Anniversary Sunday, we had two boats of Filipino seamen that somehow found our church. I guess I don't even know how they found us. And one of the first to be baptized was Armando de la Cruz. And 30 years later, he and his wife are faithful for God. Brother Tony came in. I baptized him in Jesus' name. He received the Holy Ghost. He came to know who one God is. We helped to support Tony and a few others to go to Bible college in the Philippines. And of course, Ladies Auxiliary, amen, supported as well. And I heard that Tony was preaching, but I didn't know the rest of the story. And then a couple years, 3 years ago, before we left Europe, amen, some of our Filipinos in Athens, when we were visiting there for a homecoming celebration, they got me in contact on Facebook with some of our Filipinos like Tony, and I found out Tony is pastoring, amen. And just a couple months ago, he said in a Facebook message, Pastor, can you come be with us in the Philippines? We're celebrating our 25th anniversary, and we're bringing in our five daughter works. That's what can happen if we'll call out to the Lord and praise his name and give him glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And then when Brother Smith began to sing about faith as a grain of mustard seed, I thought, well, maybe I got the wrong sermon. Amen. Because I believe in increasing faith and growing faith and developing faith and, you know, faith, 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 just a little more of faith. I want more of Jesus, and I get more of Jesus, I'm going to get more faith. But he also said in his remarks that you can reach out for more of the love of God. Praise God. So we're going to take you in that direction tonight, and we're going to begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 2, Paul says, you've heard of the grace of God. In verse 4, he says, I want you to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then in verse 7, he talks about the effectual working of his power. And then we come down to Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent, this is what God wants, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. There's that faith. It all works together. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. Paul wanted his converts, the church that he had established. He wanted them to have the riches of God's glory, and he wanted that church to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Can't do it without faith. Not going to have power without faith. You're not going to fulfill the purpose of God without faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God, we thank you for your word. Bless it now as we share it. Bless our hearts, bless our minds, bless our soul, bless our coming and our going. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. The book of Ephesians is a book written to a mature church. There are other books written to other churches, and some of them seem to have some major issues. Galatia was going into, at least some of them, into some legalism. Corinth was a strong church that would become a large church, but Corinth had some carnality even among the saints. And of course, we understand that Corinth was a sin city for the Roman Empire, comparable perhaps to New York City in our day. And Corinth had some issues that were there. But when we come to the book of Ephesians, we don't see those major kind of issues there. He's writing to mature saints that are strong saints. They had an apostolic foundation. He is encouraging, but he's striving to get them to go a little bit further. It was a large city in the Mediterranean world, 250,000 people. We know how the church was started. We can read that in the book of Acts, chapter 19. This church was a church that did not have the problems of Corinth. It did not have problems with the gifts of the Spirit, seemingly. Amen. Did not have the issues of Gnostic teaching. Amen. That Brother Little can explain to you what that is. Amen. That we find prevalent in Colossia. Amen. But every church needs more. And so Paul was striving to bring them more and to a greater dimension of God and a greater depth in God. He writes them as a founding pastor. He had been there for 2 years. Imagine this. You start a church, you leave in 2 or 3 years, you're gone, and then you expect that church to succeed and go on to glory without you. Amen. So Paul would write to the churches that he started and give them some advice, give them some instructions. Amen. And what we find here is further instructions that deals with attitudes. Amen. We've mentioned here the grace, the knowledge, the power, the purpose. And here in this chapter, amen, before talking about their perfection in chapter 4 and the ministerial gifts in chapter 4, he brings to them this aspect of the love of Christ. And he says, I want you to be filled. In other words, I want you to have more of what you already have. So I speak tonight about the subject, the dimensions of love. The dimensions of love. Amen. We live in a world of three dimensions for the most part. length, breadth, or width, and height. Amen. We think of a box, three dimensions. How long is it? How wide is it? How high it is. When you go on an airplane, you have 62 total inches, length, breadth, and height, amen, to fulfill your quota, and no more than 50 pounds. That's post 9/11. Amen. If you want to know how to pack a 70-pound suitcase and hurt your rotator cuff and your shoulder, ask my wife. Amen. When she had rotator cuff issues, amen, we went to the doctor, and the doctor had a little brochure there, and he said, well, now, these type of shoulder issues come from pitching baseball, from playing golf. She didn't do any of those. Or carrying heavy suitcases and luggage. Bingo. That was our problem in life. Praise God. And yet there is another dimension that is explained here, because Paul talks about breadth and length and depth and height. I didn't ask her about it, but I recall that my wife took a class in mathematics at Brown University, and they said you could have more than two dimensions, more than three or four dimensions. You could have maybe even an infinite number of dimensions. And to our mind, that's impossible. I'm going forward. I'm going backwards. I'm turning right. I'm turning left. If I had a helicopter, I could go up in the air. If I fell out of the plane, I would drop down. We're limited by space. We're limited by life. We're limited by time. But theoretically, there are many more dimensions that we don't live in and that we don't understand. But maybe God has them for us in his future for us. Typically, I would speak about love at the time of Valentine's Day. Amen. That's when all thoughts turn to love. But I've been directed by the Lord to go this direction. And when we think of normal love, we think of love between a mother and a child, between a man and a wife, between a brother and a sister, which was different than that of a mother and a child or a man and a wife. We think of love between family members. We think of love, as we call it, which isn't the same as family, even with friends. Praise God. Amen. But that is love in the first dimension, a human dimension. But Paul is saying here, we can go beyond. We can go further than that. And so how do we go from human love or physical love, dimension of love, to the divine spiritual dimension of love? The question was even raised in the song that we said, how do you love the Lord God Almighty? He's high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. He's on a great throne. Well, maybe it's hard to approach that kind of a high and lifted up God. But we also got the answer. I can be safe in the arms of a loving Savior, and I can hide myself in his arms. And as I feel his love and receive his love, then I can return that love. Praise God. So the first dimension that we're really concerned about tonight is divine love. We may call it the depth of love, and these are not sacred and sacrosanct, so you could change the dimensions however you want to. Amen. And divine love is something that is brought to us even in Sunday school. For God so loved the world. But John 3:16 is only the beginning of knowing that divine love of God. Because Paul says there's more to it than just a starting point. There's a depth, a breadth, a length, and a height. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave. So his love is not a selfish love. It's a giving love. His love is not a self-centered love. It's a sacrificial love. Pastor mentioned about the Old Testament how the priests never came to the altar, never came to the temple, never came to the synagogue, never came to the tabernacle without a gift. That's showing us the nature of God, because God gave good gifts. And so it's not difficult for him to expect that we should learn from him and bring something in return. It's not, as some would say down the road, that the Father loved the world so much, and he was in so much tear and emotion about the sinful world, that he called up his son and said, son, I love the world. Now, why don't you go and do something about it? I'm busy. Why don't you go? Oh, no. God loved us so much, he came himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It wasn't God the Son who was dying on a cross. It was God in a body shedding divine blood. Amen. Dying in a robe of flesh. Amen. Because the Spirit loved us before, and the Spirit still loves us now, praise God. We're talking about divine love. Amen. The song we also sang tonight says, you came from heaven to earth to show the way. How can I love? He shows the way. He didn't send somebody else. He came himself. He emptied himself of glory to come down to my level, because we couldn't get up to him. This divine love is a love in action. Oh, I love you, but I'm too busy to change your tire. Oh, I love you, but I can't help you. Oh, I love you, but, excuse. Sacrificial love. Amen. Sacrificial love may take our time. Amen. It may not be our money. It may not be our natural gifts. It may be our time. It may be our concern. It may be our emotion. Amen. God so loved the world. What did he love? Did he love the Gulf of Mexico? Did he love the beautiful sand beach of Siesta Key, which is supposedly number one again this year, which we never visit? Did he love the mountains of the Swiss Alps or the fjords of Norway? Amen. Does he love the plains of northern France? No, that's kind of boring, kind of like northern Indiana. What does he love about the world? It's the cosmos, the people. God so loved the people that he had made in his image, that even when they were astray, and even when they were not where they ought to be, he still loved them. God so loves us that he gave us and showed us a better way. Amen. In 1 John, and it's interesting that John 3:16 shows us the starting point of the love of God. But then when you come to 1 John 3:16, amen, it's not God so loved the world he gave and sent Jesus, but in 1 John 3:16, this is how we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, praise God. Amen. So in 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4, he's showing us a different and a greater dimension of love. In verse 18 of 1 John 3, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Hey, I thought they loved me. Where'd they go? I had a mom once. I had a dad once. They said they loved me. Where'd they go? I had a friend once. They said they loved me. Where'd they go? I had a brother once. I had a sister once. They said, I love you. Where did they go? No, let us not love in word or tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. My wife makes the observation that her mother, 100% German, was not a verbal lover. She did not express it verbally. But every time my wife came home to a clean house, food on the table, provision that was there, she knew that her mother loved her. So are we looking for words or reality? It's not wrong to love in word, but let's be sure we do it in deed as well.
Amen. And in verse 23, he says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And John is going back to the Gospels where Jesus says, this is how people will know, amen, that you are my disciples. How? Because we have a big banner. How? Because I have a badge here when I go door to door and telling people, amen, I'm a street evangelist, or because I give them a tract. No, this is how they're going to know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another. Praise God. Yeah, let's be honest, folks. The world is not ready in some cases for our doctrine yet, but there's a world that is looking for love. And if we will show them our love and let them feel our love, then they'll say, who is it that you serve? Where do you go to church? What do you believe? Because the love is reaching out, amen, giving them an opportunity to come to the love of Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, amen, of 1 John also, in chapter 4, verse 7, he says, beloved, now mind you, it's all balance. In verse 6, he says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So I'm not taking anything away from truth, but that's not my emphasis tonight. I believe 100%, 1,000% about truth. I believe in theology. I believe in doctrine. But there are times that we have to have a renewal of the love of Jesus Christ. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Now, God does things, God has things, but if you're looking at the character of God, the principles of God, the attributes of God, the things that define God as God, he is love. He's spirit as well. But you can't have God without his love. And so if I want to come to God, I'm going to have to come to God with love. In this verse 9 was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son, or his only begotten body, his only begotten flesh into the world that we might live through him. Praise God. So that love is a love that helps us to live better. Herein is love. Verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He loved us first, so we can learn how to love, and then we could respond to us. He loved us first, even when we were astray, so we could know how to respond to somebody else who is astray, the same way we were before. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. So divine love is part of the depth of God's love. But it already is alluded to here in 1 John 4, that love for God will reach out. It'll reach out to love the brethren. Amen. We've already read some of the verses here in verse 11 and in verse 12. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath us. God is love, and he dwells in love, dwells in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect. Why do we talk about love? Because we need to mature our love. Amen. Let's be honest. Sometimes our love is, you know, not exactly where it want to be. Amen. Amen. So we need to perfect, to mature, to increase our love factor, amen, and our dimension of love. We love him, verse 19, because he first loved us. He who has loved God, verse 21, will love his brother also. So the breadth of God's love is a love for the brother. Our love for God is a love that is vertical. Our love for the brethren is a love that is horizontal. And these two dimensions together, as you've no doubt often heard, form the cross. Can I have a cross with only love for God?
Can I have a cross just for love for my family or just love for my friends? The two must meet at the foot of the cross, and then we'll both go on our way rejoicing. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 4, which was right after our starting point in Ephesians chapter 3, amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read about the church, and he talks there about the unity of the church. He goes a little bit further than he did in chapter 3, and he's talking about the perfecting of the saints. He's talking about what we have received, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's talking about the result of the ministry and what it does for us in verse 12, and the purposes that we will have a unity of faith. Verse 13, will be a perfect or a mature man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we, now he's writing to the mature church of Ephesus, but he says that we will be no more children. Have you ever been childlike as an adult? Well, it's okay if you're playing with your grandkids. It's okay if you're just having a good time and joking and having fun. But let's not be childlike about serious things. Let's not be childlike about eternal things. Let's go on. Do not be taken away and tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Amen. But we have to speak the truth in love, that we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head of Christ. All things, but love is mentioned specifically, from whom, verse 16, the whole body fitly joins together and compacts by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto itself and edifying in love. Now, anybody mechanic out there? Any auto mechanics, tractor mechanics, truck mechanics? If you were a mechanic, you would know those vehicles operate, and you probably do if you drive them, with grease. And every so often, you've got to change your oil, and you've got to give that car, give that truck a lubrication. Well, wasn't the original oil and lube correct? Yes. But time comes, sand comes, grit comes, dirt comes. So we have to clean it out and get a new oil change, get a new love change. Now, I'm not here to tell you about sunflower seed or canola oil. I'm not even going to tell you about the most wonderful Greek olive oil. You know, I have not done a test to find out if this is Italian olive oil or Spanish olive oil. As I probably told you before, we'll have more healings and miracles in the church if we use wonderful Greek olive oil. Amen. Pardon my prejudice. Hallelujah. But I got to get some oil in my heart, because that brother doesn't see things with me eye to eye. We're not exactly the same. We had some differences, and we had some words that shouldn't have been spoken. But he's my brother, you're my brother, I'm your brother. And let's just put some oil on the situation. And the love of God and the peace of God, it passes all understand, will unite us together. Have you ever had that experience where all of a sudden there was somebody that maybe you had some issues and the Holy Ghost was there Sunday night, amen, was there, and the Spirit of God was moving, and you saw that person and you just hugged their neck. Maybe you said, I'm sorry. They said, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Amen. And the love of God unites us together and brings us to that unity of the faith and that unity in the Spirit. Amen. The Word of God is true, but the Word of God may not unite us together in the same way as the love of God working by his Spirit. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And that love will reach out to my brother. It'll reach out to my sister. Amen. God's love is a great love. It's a love that will fill us. Amen. In Ephesians 1 verse 15, he said we can have faith in the Lord Jesus. That's the song that we heard. And love towards all the saints. I've got to have both. If I only had one hand here tonight,
If I only had faith, I would be handicapped. If I only have love here tonight, amen, I would be handicapped because I didn't have that second hand. I didn't have that second arm. Amen. We had a brother who was a missionary in Germany, and he had lost as a child, amen, his lower arm and his hand. I knew that, and I saw him at a conference in Europe, and he came up to me and said, "Oh, Brother Demas, do they have any second-hand shops down in Greece?" And immediately I'm thinking of, you know, consignment shops, you know, and flea market shops and garage sale shops. And I'm trying to think, and he was just teasing. But if I only have one hand, if I only have one arm, I'm handicapped. I need both faith and love, and they will work together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, we walk in love. Now, what's interesting about this love is not a spiritual gift. See, if I don't have this spiritual gift, I'm not to blame because God didn't give it to me. Because the Spirit gives gifts to each one as He will. Okay? So He'll give this one a word of prophecy. He'll give this one special messages in tongues. He'll give this one interpretation. He gives this person faith. He gives this person discerning of spirits. He'll give this person healing. He'll give this person miracles. Where's love in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14? It's not there because love is not a supernatural gift. But love, according to Galatians 5, is a fruit. And all the fruit are for everybody to receive. I can have love. I can have peace. I don't have to be just the love Christian, but that I'm sad. I don't have to be just the peaceful Christian, but I'm not glad. I can have love and peace and joy. That's fruit and meekness and temperance and all these things. Against such there is no law. In other words, you can get more and more and more. You can get every one of these. And the first one is love, praise God. Because if love is in the proper order, I'll be in a proper relationship to the leadership in my church. I'll be in a proper relationship with my family. My prayers will not be hindered because I got family issue between the husband and my wife. I'll be in a proper relationship with my neighbor down the street because I love him even though he's lost, praise God. And love is a fruit that every one of us can receive, and that fruit can grow, 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 grow. Hallelujah. 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 That love for God brings us to more than an emotional feeling. I already mentioned, amen, what it said earlier there in John, there's both truth and love. There's both faith and love. And so when I come to God's love, there's a higher experience. There's a growing experience. Amen. And that is to come to the height of God's love. It's interesting when Paul writes to 1 Thessalonians, amen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, here's Paul, the apostle. He was seemingly gruff at time. He could be bold. Amen. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 and 8, he says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Verse 8, "We were so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of Christ only, but also our own dear souls, because you were dear to us." And in verse 11, he says, "You know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." So they received the tender love of God. But then when you go to 2 John, amen, in chapter 2, He's looking forward to the time of the coming of Christ. He's looking forward to the time of the wicked one, even him who's after the working of Satan. And then in verse 10, he says, "They were received deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love
of the truth that they might be saved. So love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is not just a tender little situation for that gnawing, for the neophyte, for the new plant, for that new convert. But love will grow to a love of God, and I will love His Word. Because God is love, and Jesus is the Word of God. So I cannot love Jesus, I cannot love God, without loving His Word. Praise God. And so that love for God will take me to a higher relationship. John was talking about love there in 1 John 4. And what's interesting about that is in chapter 4, there's 21 verses. And 25 times he uses the word love as a noun or as a verb. But then just a little bit later, he says, this is how we show our love for God, if we walk after His commandments. Well, I don't want any commandments. I just want love. I just want love and joy unspeakable, and everybody will be happy over there. Well, that may work when you're still a baby Christian. But when our kids got about 2 years of age or before, we taught them the iron is hot. Oh, hot. Hot. No, no. Don't touch. And when they got bigger and we're on vacation and there's a cliff, we taught them, you see that fence? You see that rail? Just because mom is at the rail looking down over and seemingly wants to fall over it, you kids aren't big enough to do that. Keep away from the edge. We don't want any accidents. We don't want you to fall. And when you learn to drive, now they're 16, 17, 18, you see this road? You stay in the road. You drive on the right side of the road. You don't try to meet the people on the other side of the road. Not until you're in England or Ireland, and then you can drive on the left side of the road, and then the other people are going the opposite, you know, so you're okay. But you see these guardrails? Don't meet the guardrails. Don't see if you can climb over the guardrail with your car. It's there for a purpose. And one of the most fearful things I've ever done is drive in a few places in Europe where they had big, long ditches that went down hundreds of feet, side of the mountain. No guardrail. Okay, Sister Demas, you watch. I'm driving. I'm looking at the road. I can't watch. Why is the driving, why is the guardrail there? For my protection. Doesn't God love me? Oh, no, He does love me. That's why He gives me some commands. That's why He gives me some instructions. That's why He even gives me some ordinances. Amen. That's why He protects me with those guardrails. And if I love Him, I'll keep His word. But you see, when we've got love that unites us together, when we have love in the Church of Jesus Christ, that love will also reach out in any language to people across town, people somewhere else in the county, people somewhere else in the state. Amen. And as I pray for them, as I give to them in faith promise, I am expanding my love factor. I'm expanding my dimension because now I am showing a love for the lost. Hallelujah. I've got to have a love for the lost. If God so loved the world that He gave to me, and if the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, then that spirit of love will reach out to those around me. Praise God. Jesus says, I came to call sinners. He told his disciples, amen, there's going to be some lost sheep, amen, from the other sheepfold. We haven't got there yet. We'll start with our own lost sheep first, but there's some other folks. We're going to go get them in another flock, and we're going to bring them in. He said in the Old Testament, love ye the strangers. He didn't just say Jews love the Jews. He didn't just say Judah love people from the tribe of Benjamin. He didn't just say people from the tribe of Zebulun love the folks from the tribe of Dan. He says love the strangers, love the outcasts, love those that you don't know. Amen. As they come in, don't ask where they came from. Just make sure they got a little extra there. Amen. That's what Boaz did for Ruth. He didn't know who she was, but she was a stranger. She was an outcast. She was a Moabite. He told his servants, make sure you leave some extra grain in the corners, because we got some new folks in town, Ruth and her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law is a far kin of mine, and we got to give them some help through the love of God, even in our deeds. When Jesus was ministering to the 12 tribes, it says he was moved with compassion. He didn't just see them. He didn't just say, I got to preach to them. He was moved with compassion. And so here's this book of Ephesians, a book for a strong church, and Paul is giving them instructions on the love factor, giving them instructions on the dimensions of love. Sometimes preachers are trying to head us off at the pass. And how ironic that in this great church, which became a large church, a mega church in its day, when we come back to the book of Revelation, and John, who had lived in Ephesus before he was put in captivity on the Isle of Patmos, John writes to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and Ephesus was the best church. All the others had issues. All the others had problems. But to the church at Ephesus, he said one thing, negative. You've lost your first love. What is that love? Is it our love for worship? Our love for Jesus? Is it our love for the Word of God? Is it our love for the saints and our respect for the ministry? Is it our love for the lost? We're having such good church, we forget how we got saved. I really don't know what that first love was that they lost. All I know is that God wants us to have love from the time that we get saved until the time he calls us up yonder, because it will bless me, it will bless my family, it'll bless my church, and I will bless his world if I have his divine love in me in every dimension. Let's stand, shall we? Praise God. Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we are just human. We are clay. Lord, we are imperfect. We are just clay vessels. But oh God, we pray again. You know exactly what we need. And oh Lord, never let us fail to hold to your unchanging hand. Hallelujah. And do not let us, Lord, lose that first love that we received from the cross of Calvary, and that salvation that we received, and that joyful worship that we received. Oh God, we want to know you more. We want to know you better, and we want to love you in spirit and in truth, and worship you in spirit and in truth, and love you in every way possible. Body, soul, and spirit, not just emotionally, but we want to love you with our mind, love you with our heart, and love you with our soul. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Shua, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Demas. Awesome message. You know, you can scare people in the church, but they won't stay until they love. And love is such a powerful emotion. You hear about a mother running into a burning building to get her child out. But what's really incredible is when a stranger dives into a river to get somebody else's child out. It can't be just a love for the people who are in the church, but a love for the people who are outside the church, you see. And Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, you'll feed my lambs, my sheep. Why don't you demonstrate how much you love God? Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?